We do believe that God has a very special place for Israel. Israel, he always has. And I know that when you read the news, all the political things that are going on there can be very confusing. But we do believe that Israel are the chosen people of God. Before I start, I just wanted to acknowledge Mary. Sorry to put you on the spot, but just raise your hand. Mary Novak just came back from Suriname after 3 years, right? She served there for 3 years for a school, and she's now completed her term, so she is back in the States again. So this is a new chapter now. This isn't just a little break over the summer, but this is a new chapter. So it's been enjoyable just keeping in touch with her, and I know she has really kept in touch with Living Hope. You've listened to a lot of the messages, so you've been away, but you've not really been disconnected, so that's been a blessing. So welcome her back if you have opportunity today. All right, so I'll continue this morning with our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, various aspects of the Holy Spirit. We've covered a number of things, and there just seems to be so much to do. So we're in no hurry. We're just asking the Lord to lead us through this study. And so you can see by the pictures behind me this concept of the body of Christ. Now, I don't have the diagram up here. It's in your program off to the right, those circles, ovals, whatever we've been using to illustrate this concept of the Holy Spirit being in us as well as the Holy Spirit being on us. And I've said that the Holy Spirit in us really recreates, reproduces the personality of Jesus, the passion of Jesus in us, and the Holy Spirit on us releases then the presence of Jesus and the power of Jesus through us. So on that word power, the Holy Spirit releasing power, I suggested a number of weeks ago that, like, to me, I it feels like three areas. The Holy Spirit releases power through us for three main areas. The first one is transformation. Our lives are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the marks of a follower of Christ. They're not the same person they used to be. The Holy Spirit transforms them. So it's transformation. Another one is ministry, and that's what we're going to focus on today. And another one is mission. Now, Christopher Peters brought a message on that 2 weeks ago about this power of the Holy Spirit fueling the mission of the church. We have a lot more to talk about in that as well. But let's go now today to this thing, ministry. Power for ministry. What does that mean? What are we referring to? Ministry, too often, when we hear the word ministry, we think of what I do, because some people call me a minister. So we think ministry is the work of, like, official church staff or appointed leaders of the church. Do you know what the definition of ministry is? The word ministry? I mean, there's several, but hear this one: attending to the needs of another. Now, I don't know about you, but I think every single one of you in this room is capable of that, attending to the needs of another. Whenever you see someone else that you can help in any way, that you can strengthen, that you can support, that you can encourage, and you do that, you're ministering to them. You're ministering to them. Please don't think ministry is like preaching and leading a Bible study and all that. That's part of it. But ministry is very simple. Ministry is doing something to serve, to help, to assist, to encourage, to comfort. And I believe that is that third realm of why we have power from the Holy Spirit. Why we are given the Holy Spirit is so that we can minister. So we can minister to one another in the body. So we can minister to those outside of the body. Now here's an interesting question. I know we can't answer it, but if we take the concept of ministry for a moment to the local church, you know, there's a lot of things happen, even here at Living Hope on a Sunday morning. A lot of things are going on, way beyond just me. you know, a lot of work goes into what the worship team does every week. You have multiple people up there. They're playing instruments. They're singing. When you come, there's someone to greet you. There's an usher to help you if you have any difficulties. There's technical people back in that corner that keep all the electronic stuff. Right now, as I'm speaking, there are children's ministers who are with the children, and they are ministering to them. They're teaching. They're praying with them. There's a whole group of youth that are normally sitting right here who are preparing lunch for us right now. That doesn't happen every week. And we're not different from other churches. That's just the way it is in a church. Here's the question, the one I said we can't answer. How many things that happen here, whether it be on a Sunday morning or like the ministries of Living Hope, how many of them are fueled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And how many of them do we do just in our own strength? Now, I know at first glance we could be kind of critical and say, well, I think we do everything in our own strength. Well, I don't think that's true. Really, any time you offer yourself to be used of the Holy Spirit, He is then working through you. But that's this power that He gives that we really want to be used by Him, so that when we minister, when we serve, whether it is in the context of the church, whether it's talking to your neighbor, whether it's building a friendship at work, the Holy Spirit is actually empowering you to do that and to do that well. So let's go to, let me ask this question. As the Holy Spirit strengthens us for ministry in its very broad sense, who is to be the beneficiary of that? Who is the one that's supposed to benefit from that? Well, it's not us. That's the main part. It's not us. So this verse is in your program. This verse is in your program. And we'll take just a couple minutes on this one. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 12 if you want, because we're going to read some more verses there. You will find that on about page 813 in your guest Bible, page 813, if you want to go there to find 1 Corinthians 12. Now, this is what 1 Corinthians 12:7 says. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, let's break that into three pieces. Okay, let's break that into three pieces just briefly. The first thing I think we have to stress at the very beginning of this discussion about spiritual gifts, because there's a lot to cover in this. So this morning is just kind of a flyover, just a quick summary. But I think we have to get this first, in my opinion. It's so important that we get this. The last phrase in this verse says that the manifestation of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that word manifestation in a minute, but the manifestation of the Spirit, or let's say the gifts of the Spirit, are given for whose good? For the common good. For the common good. Okay? So we have to understand this. If the Holy Spirit gives you a particular gift to use for ministry, whatever it is, it might be something visible, it might be something rather almost invisible, or not many people notice. Whatever it is, it's not for you. It's not for you. It's not about you. Will you be blessed by using it? Oh, you better believe you will. You better believe you will. It is a tremendous joy and privilege to look at a situation and see that God used you in it, to see that somehow God let you speak a word of encouragement or let you support or help somebody or serve somebody. That's a tremendous blessing, but that's not what it's for. The gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is for the common good. So it's all about strengthening the body and supporting the body. This concept of body we'll talk more about as we go through. But we have to start there. I believe the Lord is grieved. I believe the Lord is grieved when members of the body of Christ start competing with one another or start drawing attention. Look what I can do. I have the gift of whatever, and I'm really good. You know, and very few people are that arrogant to say that. But I wonder how many of us actually think that, you know, like, man, I'm really getting good at this. You know, I really have this gift, and wow, I'm getting opportunities. I'm getting invited to do this or do that or whatever. I think that grieves the Lord, because he did not give you a gift for you. He did not give you a gift for you. It's not about you. It's not for you. It's for your use, for the benefit of others. You will receive blessing, but it's not for you. It's to be passed on to someone else. We have to get that in the beginning. Now, second, so important. Let's look at words number 3 and 4 of this verse. Now, to a few, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's not what it says. Now, to each one. To each one. Every one of you, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, if you have accepted that gift of forgiveness that's offered through Jesus Christ, you've committed your life to him, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you receive this gift thing that we're going to talk more about. But it's to all of you. This applies to every one of you. If you're a follower of Christ, this applies to you. Everything I'm going to say this morning applies to you. Please don't think that certain spiritual gifts or talents or abilities, whatever you want to say, that are fueled by the Holy Spirit of God are just for a few people, or just for the people up front. The people that stand up front, the people that hold a microphone, well, they receive some kind of gift from God, but the rest of us, like, we're not that important. No. Each one. Now, let's just touch also briefly on this word manifestation. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. I know that's a word we don't use a lot, but the idea is really simple. I could do it this way. You know, I could say to Ray, look across the room, and I'll just pick someone. You probably know Rebecca Stahlsfuss, and I could say, tell me about her attitude right now. What's her attitude like right now? You couldn't really answer that, because I can't answer that. I mean, she doesn't look really mad or anything, so I'm assuming it's probably generally okay. But if you would go and talk to her for an hour, her attitude might begin to manifest itself. You know what I mean? Demonstrate. Come forward so that it's visible. You've all experienced that, right? You start talking to somebody, you're like, whoa, something's coming out here. This person, or maybe, I don't mean to make it sound negative, maybe you would pick up very quickly that she is just joyful, that she is just so happy, and she's so pumped about things that God's doing, or whatever. She got a big raise at work. Did you get a big raise at work this week? Oh, bummer. But when something manifests itself, it comes out so that it's visible. It's demonstrated. So if what Paul is talking about, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. I can't look at any of you and really see what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. I can't really, just at a glance. But again, the more I'm around you, it will start coming out. It will be visible. And that's what spiritual gifts are. The Holy Spirit gives us things that he wants us to enter into the work of the kingdom. But when he does that, actually, he is the one. Now notice it says the manifestation of my excellentness, right? No, it's the manifestation of the Spirit. So when any of you are exercising a spiritual gift, whatever it might be, and for those of you who are new to spiritual gifts, we're going to get to a list and a little bit more of an explanation. But when you are doing anything that God has enabled you to do, it's supposed to be a manifestation of him, not of your gifts or ability. So the goal is that he would be praised, that he would receive attention, because it's a manifestation of the Spirit. So, let's look, just to help us in this whole thing of how this all works together as a body, let's stay now in 1 Corinthians 12. If you've turned there, if not, I encourage you to do so again. 1 Corinthians 12. Most times when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, things that the Holy Spirit gives us to serve one another, he puts it in the context of a body. a physical body. So let's just read this in 1 Corinthians 12. It's just very helpful, and it's a very practical example that Paul gives us. We're going to start at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. And if you're looking at the NIV, the heading of that paragraph says, one body, many parts. But it goes on to say this. Verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, in those few verses, Paul gave a physical example talking about the body, and then he went to a spiritual body saying, so it is with Christ, we were all baptized into one Spirit. Now, let's go on. He goes again to this analogy of the body. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many, right? Your body, your physical body, has many parts. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, now get this, because this is a direct correlation. This is said so well. In fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now that's true in your physical body. It is absolutely amazing the way God has arranged the physical parts of the body. It is just absolutely mind-blowing. But as it, the same for the church. It says he has arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now let's just go over and hit one more verse yet, in just a little further in the chapter, verse 27, where Paul says, and this is the verse on the side screens, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So as you think about yourself as a Christian, you are part of a larger body. Now maybe that first circle, you might think of this local expression of the body, this particular church. But even beyond that, you are a part of the body of Christ, the larger worldwide body of Christ. And each of you has a part in it. So if you believe this, that every follower of Christ is given a specific part within the body, a specific function. Your hand, your fingers have a specific function within your body. The things that your feet do, your hands can't do. The things that your heart does, your hands can't do. But your hands do have a very specific function in your body. So if each of us has a specific function in the body, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this thing we call the fruit of the Spirit. Again, this is an overview this morning, and we'll come back and spend more time with this. So I want to start out by contrasting something that I think people may confuse in this discussion about the fruit, about the gifts of the Spirit. And it does talk about, I mean, this conflict has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. I could ask you this question. What is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Now, if those are new terms to you, hopefully in a few moments you'll at least have a definition there. But what is the difference between the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, yeah, here's that definition of manifestation that I gave you like 10 minutes ago. So the fruit of the Spirit, the personality or character of Jesus recreated in us. Now, we won't take the time to go there, but some of you will remember that Paul gives this list in Galatians 5. He calls the fruit of the Spirit. And actually, I think they're listed in your program. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, here is what makes the fruit of the Spirit unique from the gifts of the Spirit. Each of us, followers of Christ, each of us get all the fruit. that whole list, love, joy, peace, patience, that whole list that's in your notes, you get all of that. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, no, not me. I did not receive the gift of patience. I'm sorry, that's one spiritual gift that God did not give me. Patience is not a spiritual gift. Gentleness, not a spiritual gift. Love, joy, peace, not spiritual gifts. They're spiritual fruit. What that means is, as a follower of Christ, those things are to be evident in your life. They are to be produced because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Of course it's a journey. Of course it's maturing. Of course it's about health in your life. But never look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit as though you might get one or two of them. No, you have them all. It's just a matter of letting the Holy Spirit really mature them and ripen them so that they too are a manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, so I hope that's helpful. Each of us gets all of them. So what about spiritual gifts? That's what we're spending our time on now. Gifts of the Spirit, they are different manifestations, demonstrations of the Spirit in every believer. Remember, we looked at that verse. It says to each one. Everybody gets one. Everybody gets at least one. That's the point on this one, is each of us gets at least one gift. Now, some get more, but everyone gets at least one. So what I want to do now, and this is in your notes also, I'm just going to go through these really quickly. There are basically three scriptures in the New Testament that talk about this thing of gifts, spiritual gifts. And we could talk a long time about any one of them, not even the list, but one thing on the list. But the first one, okay, the first heading that came up here is motivational or redemptive gifts. This is from Romans 12. And many people believe that this list of gifts in Romans 12 has more to do with a person's wiring or personality, how you were born, how God created you. You already see the first one on there, a prophet. Let me just back up on that one. The prophet, this is a person who sees things very black and white. They're generally very bold. They don't like messing around. They don't like making slow decisions. They move quickly. They move decisively. They walk into a room and they kind of get a sense immediately what's going on. That's the way God wires a prophet. A servant is wired almost completely opposite from a prophet. A servant is a very sensitive person, very much in touch with people, but loving to serve, loving to build others up, loving to see others succeed is this wiring of a servant. A teacher, pretty self-explanatory. This is a person who's very focused on details. They're a stickler for the truth. They have to know what the truth is in a situation. They tend to be methodical. They tend to be really good planners. A teacher, an exhorter is someone who is just that very positive, perky, bubbly personality. They always see the good in a situation. They always see the good. You know, they always see the glass as half full, never as glass empty, never as half empty. That's the exhorter, the encourager, the giver. This person is very generous, but yet they're very discerning. They are very committed to family, building family structures. Givers are usually very good at building family businesses and things like that. So that's the giver. Leader, similar to prophet, but a leader is really that person who is very capable of bringing order to chaos. They know how to get things done. They know how to organize things and how to strategize and how to put things in motion. And then the last one on that particular list is this motivational gift of mercy. This person, as some people describe, as having not the mind of God, but the heart of God. They are very much in touch with how people are feeling. They know when someone is sad or someone is happy. They're just very intuitive, and they are easily touched and quite deeply by the pain of another person. So we'll probably do a whole study on this group. We did this at Living Hope a number of years ago. We'll probably circle back to that here in a few more months. But now here's the next list. This is what I would call personal ministry gifts. It's called different things at times. But these are spiritual gifts that God gives you to support and encourage other people. This is a ministry within the body of Christ, personal ministry within the body of Christ. Now, these lists, this list, it comes from Romans 12, and it says there are 3 through 8, but then there's also a few more that are added in at the end of Romans. But again, just hitting them quickly. Wisdom, the gift of wisdom. The Holy Spirit, a person with a gift of wisdom is often given by the Holy Spirit a very godly wisdom, godly insight into a situation. Knowledge, the gift of knowledge. It would be interesting to hear testimonies about this gift. The gift of knowledge is when you're able to sense by the Spirit something that's going on in someone else's life. And these are powerful testimonies. When someone you've never met in your life comes up to you and says, the Lord told me that your marriage is really in a difficult place right now, and he wants you to know that you need to seek him and you need to humble yourself to strengthen your marriage. I just made that up. But that happens. God will give someone a word of knowledge that they would have no way of knowing in their human ability, and they'll walk up to someone. Do you know how that gets your attention? When someone you've never met before in your life walks up to you and it's like they've been sitting in your house for a week, that is like pretty scary and pretty cool all at the same time. The spiritual gift of faith. Now, we all have faith, yes, but there are some that God gives this extraordinary measure of faith that they are always just, no, God is going to do this, God can do this. They encourage the rest of us with the gift of faith. Healing, self-explanatory. Anyone can pray for healing. We can all seek healing, but there are those that God gives the spiritual gift of healing, where more often, more regularly, you see that person being used in the ministry of healing. Miracles, that's more a general thing of just working miracles. That's what Paul calls it. Someone who is just used by God to pray in, to proclaim miracles. Next one, prophecy. You say, well, the prophet was already on the other list. That's more of the personality of prophet, but the spiritual gift of prophecy is being able to communicate things that are on God's heart. A lot of different expressions, but prophecy is another gift. Discernment. It is a real blessing to have people around who are enabled by the Holy Spirit to discern. Now, and specifically, it says discernment of spirits. People will walk into a situation and they'll be like, oh, wait a minute, this is what it looks like, but this is not really what's going on. There's something behind the scenes here that I'm sensing. It's called discernment of spirits, or just discernment. And then just a couple more, tongues. For the most part, I think that is interpreted, especially in the spiritual gifts, of the ability to deliver a message in an unknown language. Sometimes it's known to someone else. Sometimes it's a spiritual language. But that is one of the gifts, the gift of tongues. And then tied with that is interpretation of tongues. Those two are connected. Or someone to be able to interpret something that's said in a different language. And then helping. This one's very simple. But you know, that's a spiritual gift. Some people are gifted, and that probably ties into the servant, redemptive gift. Some people are gifted that they are just, God empowers them to be helpers, to be very helpful. And they really bless others as a result of it. And then administration. This is another one that comes up in the latter part of Romans. Administration. That's similar to maybe that ruler or leader gifting under motivational gifts. A person that's just very good at organizing. You know, you can't have a mission trip without somebody that knows how to do administration. Like, you should see all the things that this team that was up here this morning. Man, between plane tickets and all the preparation that goes into this, fundraising and all. I mean, there's just a ton of administration goes into this. There's administration goes into almost anything in ministry. It's just not always visible. So those are, you know what? I didn't get the last column up on the screen, but that's okay. I'm sure it's in your notes. The third column are leadership gifts. Now, this is from Ephesians 4. This is from Ephesians 4. Just very briefly now, these are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, these are viewed as actual offices in the church, in the local church, where someone is appointed as an apostle or as a prophet. I know we don't always use those terms, but apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those are gifts that God gives to the body in terms of leadership. So Here's another question. And this ties into the question I asked earlier. How many churches do you think function with a full expression of the gifts of the Spirit? How well do you think Living Hope is doing at that? That the individual spiritual gifts are being utilized and are being tapped into. I'm not sure how you would answer that. How's that? One? Okay. All right. You know, I struggle with this at times because I'm not sure how well we are doing with this. And there could be a lot of reasons. Some of that is the responsibility of leaders to be sensing and trying to discover what people's gifts are and how to use them. Rick knows that we talk about this all the time. You know, releasing people to serve in the way that God has called them to. So I just want to hit these couple things quickly as we finish. Three barriers. Now, someone shared an article with me this week about things that prevent people from becoming involved in their local church. What would you list? What are the things that keep people from becoming involved in their local church? Well, these were three things that the author of that article suggested, and I thought they tied in well this morning. The first one is, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you ever felt this way? They're like, well, what would I do? Like, I don't have anything to offer the church. You know, I'm not, you know, I can't sing like Pat or like Bryn, and I can't play the guitar like Ray, and, you know, I can't grow a cool beard like Mike, and, like, I just don't know what I would do in the church. Well, you have to believe the verses we've been looking at when Paul said to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So let's just deal with that lie right now. You have something to offer the church. The broad church, you have something to offer this church. If this is where God has called you to be a part of, you do. Now maybe you're not quite sure what it is yet, but believe me, you do. Because the scripture says you do. Every one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit, to demonstrate the Spirit in your life for the common good, for the church to be benefited. So this whole thing of I'm not good enough, I guess I could just answer it and say, well, you're right. You're not good enough. Neither am I. Neither are any of us. We don't serve the body of Christ because we're good enough. We serve the body because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do it. Okay? It's not about whether you have what it takes. It's about whether God has what it takes through you. And we know that answer. Now the only part of the equation is, will you let him? That's really the only question is, will you let him? Because he has what it takes. He will empower you to do whatever it is that he calls you to do. So let's deal with this lie, this whole thing of I'm not good enough. That's a barrier, and that's just a lie. That's just a lie. Now here's another one. This is very real. The author suggested another thing that stops people from getting involved in their local church is that they are hurting for some reason. Now this could maybe be on a couple different fronts. First of all, if you are really struggling with something terribly difficult in your life right now in this season, something relational, something financial, something emotional, whatever it is, I know that in those times you don't feel like you have anything to give beyond yourself. It takes like every ounce of energy just to get out of bed in the morning, and you are just burdened down. That could be one of them. Another one could be this whole thing of hurting. Well, you've been hurt by a church before, or maybe by this church. Maybe you were serving in something and someone didn't appreciate you. Maybe someone said something unkind to you. Maybe someone said something that made you feel like you were doing it wrong or whatever. That's another way that people can feel some type of hurt that stops them from getting involved. For the first one, I say this very gently. But if you're in a place right now that you feel like you have nothing to give, you are just completely burdened under the stuff of your life, whatever it is right now, you might just ask God what that one thing is you can do outside of yourself to help someone else and see what that does to your own attitude. I'm not saying you have to sign up to lead some ministry, you know, 2 days a week or whatever. Just ask God maybe to show you one person that even in the midst of your pain, you could try to reach out to them and just see what God does in your life when you do that. Don't let the fact that you're hurting in some way completely shut you down. If your hurt has been a past hurt in the church, you're not going to like what I'm going to say next. But I have to tell you, it's going to happen again. It really is. It's going to happen again. You're going to get hurt again. Somebody like me is going to say something stupid, or I'm going to offend you, or I'm going to make you feel overlooked. I guarantee you it's going to happen again. But we have to look beyond that and say, is the call of serving the kingdom of Christ, is the call of serving Jesus Christ himself worthy that we would pursue it and that we would continue to give ourselves? I'm not excusing when the church does things or when people say things that are unkind, but it is life. It does happen. And God is bigger than all that. And he's actually worth it. He's actually worth it, putting up with an unpleasant experience or two and saying, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give what I can in whatever way that I can. So that could be another one. All right, I got to do it. Look, this was in the article, all right? These are not my points, but they're in the article. It's already in your notes, I think. I think these are in your... No, these aren't in your notes. Here's a third one is, I'm lazy. It was the author, not me, okay? I didn't say it. Well, I did. I just did, actually. I don't need to say a lot about this. However, I will say this. I believe the church, especially in North America, has become a very consumeristic church. What do I mean by that? We want to find a church that has good parking, that has air conditioning, that has a good youth ministry, that has a good pastor, that has a good worship team, that has a nice facility, and that I feel good after I leave there going home. That's what I want. That's my shopping list. And if I can't find that, I'm going to go find another one, because there's, you know, hundreds of fantastic churches in Lancaster County. And when we become consumeristic, it really is about getting my needs met. And we don't realize, but that's created in us this form of laziness where we just want to receive. We don't realize how much work goes into those churches. If you find a church in Lancaster County where there is a lot of love, there's a lot of care there, that messages are inspiring, that the worship team does a great job, they lead people, they do their best to lead people into the presence of the Lord, there's various ministries that you can plug into. If you find a church like that, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that you don't see. And if you think that that just kind of automatically happens somehow without anybody actually sacrificing, the people that are sacrificing to make a church work, they're busy too. They're just as busy as you are, sometimes busier, but they've made a sacrifice to do that. So, all right, I'm going to stop. This is feeling like a guilt trip. That wasn't my intention, but somebody said preach. So I don't preach real hard on that one. I want the Spirit to do the preaching on that one. I really do, because I don't want anybody to serve here because I ask them to. I really don't. I don't want anybody to serve here because we have an opening. I want you to serve because God tells you to serve, and he says, this is what I have for you to do. So when you're serving him, you're not serving me. That way, when I do something stupid and offends you, you'll deal with it because you're not serving me. You're serving him. You're not doing it because I called you. You're doing it because he called you. That changes the whole deal. When you can approach it that way, that changes the whole deal. So, what does this look like? I said, how many churches really operate in the fullness of the giftings of the Holy Spirit? Again, these are just three things that I picked out. You know, it could be a much longer list. I'll close with these. First of all, when spiritual gifts are working properly in the body, I believe that God's presence in that body is obvious. Now, we won't turn there, but there's this passage in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul talks about if someone from the outside comes into the church and they see like words of prophecy, they see the Holy Spirit working and moving, he says they will fall to their knees and they will declare, surely God is in this place. That's when the spiritual gifts are working and flowing in a body. People will come into that setting. Now, whether it's here, whether it's a life group, or whether it's just talking to you, they will sense, you know, something more is going on here than just a bunch of people doing random things. God is present in this body. And the reason he's present is because his spirit is present in us. And remember what the gift is called? It's called a manifestation of the Spirit. So when we're walking in gifts and we're serving as God calls us to, his presence is being manifested. It's being demonstrated. It's being shown. So his presence becomes obvious. I believe that's one of the things. The second thing, the next two are very practical. The body is strong and healthy. Like, we love strong and healthy bodies, right? We all probably could go down a list. Yeah, you know, I could lose a couple pounds or I could exercise more or whatever. But it really is a blessing to have a body that is strong and healthy in the physical. And it is such a blessing to see a body that is healthy in the spiritual, in the body of Christ. Where each part is functioning. Have you ever, I'm sure almost all of you have experienced this. Like, okay, say you do something to this knee, all right? You hurt this, you stretch it, you sprain it, you bang it, whatever. What do you do now? You walk with much more weight on this leg, right? You're kind of favoring that knee, and this leg is picking up a lot more weight. What starts to happen? This hip starts to hurt. Or maybe this knee starts to hurt. There's nothing wrong with this hip. There's nothing wrong with this knee. The injury's over here. But the pain moves over to this side because this leg is doing more than it's supposed to. This leg, this hip and this knee weren't designed to carry 80% of your body weight. It was designed to carry 50% of your body weight, as was this leg. So when the spiritual gifts are flowing in a body, the body is strong and healthy. When they're not flowing, there is strain placed on parts of the body that are not supposed to be there. I'm sure you probably all, most of you have heard this statistic that 80% of the work in the church is done by 20% of the people. Come on, you're going back on that guilt trip again. This next one is so huge. This is the last one on my list anyway. When spiritual gifts are working properly in the body, workers are refreshed and not exhausted. I know that we all have times, even when we're doing exactly what God has called us to do, we start dealing with a little fatigue. But if what you are doing is creating an ongoing kind of fatigue, you're not finding joy in what you're doing, you're not really sensing God's presence in what you're doing, you probably want to stop and say, am I really flowing in the gifting that you've given me? Or am I serving in some role or doing something out of like some kind of guilt or because someone asked me to do it. I believe that when spiritual gifts are flowing and they're identified and people are serving in those roles, that doesn't burn you out. It actually invigorates you. It actually strengthens you. So this is very challenging to me as a pastor because I know that historically, the church hasn't done real well with this. You know, we tend to get 80% of the work being done by 20% of the people, and that's sometimes our fault as much as it is anyone else's. So again, this morning is just this quick overview. We're going to spend more time on this. Our goal is, our desire is, for every one of you to really get a sense from God as to what the gift is, gifts are that he's placed in you. I know some of you know that. I know some of you know that. You've been through studies like this before. My encouragement to you this morning is walk in that. The others, you may not really know. That might raise some questions for you. Well, what is the spiritual gift that God wants me to use for his purposes and for his kingdom? We want to work through that and start asking him. Start asking him, what is that gift? And start speaking to others because, you know, sometimes others see our gifts long before we do. Don't be surprised if someone comes up to you and says, you know, I see something in you. I see something in you, really listen when someone says that. Because a lot of times God will show someone else our gifts before he shows them to us. Or else we just don't want to see them. Especially if it's something we didn't really want to be our gift. You know, maybe there are certain gifts like that. I really wish I had this one. And I was talking to someone recently who believes God has gifted them in a certain way. And he's like, man, I don't know why I would sign up for this. So anyway, we want to see the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit working in our lives as individuals and working in the church, so that God's presence is manifest. It's demonstrated. It's clearly seen among us. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time this morning of just this brief overview of spiritual gifts. God, we're told in Ephesians that we are a new creation in Christ, and we are given work that God prepared in advance for us to do. God, you have a plan mapped out for our life, and you have specific ways that you want to use us to build your kingdom. Now, some of us are obedient, we tap into that, but Lord, at the same time, we very well have the capability of shutting that down just by not seeking you, by not tapping into what you want us to do. So God, I pray this morning for those in the room and for those who will listen to this on their podcast, that there would be a moment where they would just take a moment and say, Lord, what are these things that you're calling me to do? What are the gifts you've given me? Some of them know that answer, and for them, let it just be an inventory of, am I serving in these areas? Am I walking in these gifts? For those who don't know the answer, God, just begin to speak to them, either directly through others, to begin to reveal to them some of the things you've placed in their lives that are there to serve you and to build a kingdom. So God, we bless your name. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, as always, I'll be available to pray with you afterwards today. I know this is just a general teaching this morning. But again, I hope you can stay for lunch. Even if you can stay briefly, just get a little bit to eat if you're in a hurry, if you have to go somewhere. The youth have been working hard this morning, getting things set up. Now, just to clarify what Mike said earlier, we're starting outdoors. The food will be served outdoors, out here in the parking lot. It's sort of more of a picnic theme this morning. You'll have to go outside to see what this mystery theme is that Mike was talking about. But yeah, then there's, as I understand, I think there's some seating out here. There's also seating in the gym. It is a fundraiser. If you're able to give a donation to the youth and to their mission trip to NYSEM in August, I know they would really appreciate that. So I'm just going to take a moment now and just pray and thank God for the meal. And then if you're able to stay, work your way out there. If you're not able to stay, it's been really good to have you with us this morning. And if there's any way I can pray with you, I'd be happy to do that also. Father, we thank you for this meal that you provided for us. I thank you for the hard work of Mike and Claudia and the youth. And just bless this time of fellowship, God. I pray that it would be a time. Lord, I pray, Lord, I pray that if there are people, you're going to give a word this morning to share with someone else about a gift they see in them or about a strength they see in them. Lord, let that happen at this time of fellowship today, that someone would approach someone else and say, I see something in you. So I pray that would happen. And just bless our time of fellowship in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, do that. All right, do that. If you have seen in someone what you think is a spiritual gift or what you think is a strength, tell them today before you leave. Okay? All right, you're dismissed. God bless.